Be'ezrat Hashem
is something a little different. It's about slowing down. And you might ask yourself, what the heck does slowing down have to do with loving kindness? I think a lot. But it also happens to be something which is dear to my heart, because I am naturally the opposite. Totally. I go fast in everything, always rushing. So this thing to that thing, and I'm like a big doer. And it's great, but it also means I'm forgetful and I misplace things and I mess up and I do things too fast and then fix it. And that's just my natural orientation. So one of my avodah, one of the things I'm working on in life is to slow down. I thought it would also be a nice thing to teach and also a good muster for myself. So I'll open it up to you guys. I'll say a slow bracha. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei peri adam. Also, I want to dedicate the learning of the Fua Shlema of my friends who need Fua, and anyone in Am Yisrael who needs healing in any way, and you know, Shalom Bayis, and there's Zivugim, and everything should just bring a lot of blessing down to you. Zivugim is that they find their soulmates. Everyone should, Mama, it should just bring blessing down to the universe. Us learning Torah tonight. So, I want to ask you guys, what is the relationship between slowing our lives down and doing acts of kindness? Pick inside my brain for a moment. What is the connection there?
Well, you probably notice, for one, you know, notice, you know, that someone needs a seat in a bus, or they're about to fall over, like today. Well, I thought they were about to fall over, but they're actually resting against something. So you don't notice those things if you're like in a big hurry and your head's full of whatever you want to do with your life and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. You just don't notice
no. The
little things when you're going too fast.
Yeah.
Exactly. Excellent. So that was actually my primary thought. Which is that when you're going fast, it's not even that. Sometimes you mess things up and you knock the guy over in the shuk. But other times, not even that. You just miss up. You don't even know. You don't even realize what you're missing out on. So there's an amazing study by John Darley and Daniel Batson, who are both psychologists from Princeton University. And they took two groups. One group, they're all preachers, okay? And one group is told they're going to give a sermon. And what's the topic? Good Samaritan, to be a good, kind person. Okay? And the other, a different biblical topic, something about not loving kindness. Something else.
Can I grab some water?
You can, of course.
That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. In the fridge is also all sorts of cold water with various variations of interesting things.
That's exciting.
I think there's lemon in one of them, I don't know. See what you can find. There might be seltzer in there. Have fun. So, there's these two groups. One of them's got the Good Samaritan, and the other one's something else. And they're all told to go to one building, and there's an audience that's going to come and listen to them give their speech. But half of the seminarians are told, it'll be a few minutes till they're ready for you, but you might as well head on over. Okay, like, take your time, chill out. The other group is told, you're late. They're expecting you a few minutes ago. Hard. Okay? So one group's running over, the other. On their way to the presentation, they encountered a man who was bent over and appeared to be in pain. The students had no idea, of course, that the person was really an actor and that they were participating in an experiment. Now, can you guess? You probably can. Who noticed the man who is pretending like he was in pain? The first group that was nicely walking down to give the sermon, or the second group that was rushing to get to their sermon about doing acts of loving kindness? Indeed, ironically enough, the second group, which was talking all about loving kindness, most of them, a tenth of them, noticed the person. Whereas the people who were walking slowly, 2/3 of them noticed the person and offered help. And they, what they saw is there is zero relationship between the speech they were giving about loving kindness and actually whether they did the act of loving kindness. What they found, on the other hand, was when they were slowed down, then they actually had time to notice the person and care for them. They found that a very powerful study. Because it just shows you, it doesn't matter how many TED Talks you hear or inspiring shiurim from the rabbi, if your life is at a rushed pace, you're going to miss opportunities. You're not going to take advantage of the chesed and everything in life. So, gewalt, I thought that was really cool. Cool demonstration. And again, good muster for me. I'm all the time running to do these. Muster is like
ethics
literally. But in this case, it means like, so, it's a good slap in the face for myself.
So what I say is that there's a time of God and a time of the people, right? The time of God is nothing moves. There's nothing. The time of God never is, not, it's just one time. It's, there's no really
infinity.
It's the time is there. The time doesn't move. The time of God is just one time. It doesn't move. It stays there.
Wow.
So it's when you, your spirit, your soul goes together with the time of God. Your soul doesn't have a time. At the same time, it's just that is why sometimes when you see a friend, you see a friend that you love very much, and there's, you haven't seen them in years, you see that person, and it's like if you've ever been together with them. Yeah. Because that time is
wow.
That's
yeah.
What I think.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
That's my appreciation. When I go to Kiryat Arba, what happens in Kiryat Arba? It's the time of God. There's nothing happens. It's there.
Kiryat Arba is Hebron.
Next to Hebron, but nothing.
It's funny. And the interview I was having today, they asked, like, you know, what's it like in Hebron, which is like a war zone? Like, how does it feel? Because I served there. And I was like, it's so funny. That's not how it feels to me at all. And like you're saying,
yeah.
Like, it's, they thought it was like a war zone.
What, Kiryat Arba?
Yeah. And like, we're encroaching upon these Palestinians. And it's like, no, we're just living our lives. We want to live here, you can live there. It's just interesting hearing you speak so beautifully about Kiryat Arba.
The other thing is that it's so many years ago I learned it in school, I can't remember what the statistic is, but they did studies on children learning, and that verbal is the least effective way of communicating.
Nachon.
Yeah.
Nachon. Hello. Welcome.
Shalom.
Shalom. Yeah. Pass this young lady a chair. Oh, I'm sorry. Should have slowed down.
The language, right? So
the
basically, so right. So they conducted an experiment, and they said, you know, whatever, like, don't or no, pick up, no, don't pick up the book. And so, like, and then, like, the children in the classroom actually, even though the verbal instructions were, don't pick up the book. But because the teacher picked up the book,
they copied.
Yeah, because we tend to, like, that's
copy.
The right. Yeah, and that verbal communication is the least effective because words are easy.
So that's
just
a visual,
right?
The
exactly.
Visual is what
it's an action,
yeah.
Right? It's a physical action.
The
so that's
kinesthetic,
yeah.
Right?
But also just mimicking what you know what we really
yeah.
We see the people act, and that's what we pick up on.
Right.
Not what they say, but what they
yeah.
do.
Right.
So
yeah,
but I think it goes a little further.
Exactly.
Because our lives, sometimes, because we are mimicking, most of the times, everything that we do is because everybody at 20 years old is supposed to be studying for college. When you're 25, you should be married. When you are 30, you should do this. When you are, so people are just doing that because everybody does it.
Exactly.
But they don't take their time to really think about themselves, where where I really am, if it's good for me, if my body really accepts that, you know? If my body is accepting it, I'm ready to do that. You know? So we are mimicking, like you said, constantly. We're mimicking everybody, and we just hurry up and we just follow. At the end, and we don't know what we're doing.
You make a great point. And when we get practical, we should talk about, like, you know, one of the ways to actually slow down your life is to put yourself in an environment around other people and in a world which is slower. And that will.
That's my love spot. Jerusalem is hard for me for that reason.
Yeah. For sure. City life.
Just run. Yeah. For a spot, like, there's, you know.
Yeah. New York City, and you're lying
that
then.
I don't
city.
Think that I run in Jerusalem. I think there's a lot of movement.
Okay.
But I think that it's still.
I'm very curious. There's a lot more moving.
Huh?
Compared to Kiryat, there's a lot more people moving.
No.
Yeah.
Compared to Kiryat, I guess.
Well, sometimes even in a place, you can make your own little world.
Definitely. Nachla Oak, people seem to be doing that here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
What?
Nachla Oak is a very chilled out.
Right, yeah. I feel like there's people.
Some places.
Yeah,
every place is its own world, so we can create our universe. Okay, so what I wanted to now jump into a little bit, we'll get back to practically how to manifest it, but just a few Jewish sources, Torah sources, relating to this topic in general about slowing down and just seeing how this idea is reflected in our different Torah ideas. So has anything come to anyone's mind of a Torah source which relates to this topic of slowing down?
Yeah, one. When Moshe had to take care of everything, and then I think it was Yitro who told him you should take help, this is too much for yourself.
Yeah.
It's also a kind of slowing down kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that, but that's a great idea, yeah. Yitro was saying you can't do it all. You got to let other people also have a role in it. That's great. Yeah, for sure.
Praying, I think, is slowing down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It helps you to slow down.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's funny, just the other day someone asked me if I meditate. I say, well, kind of. I try to use prayer as my meditation slowing down time. Or at least I know my 3 times a day, I'm going to take a breath and, you know, connect to my breath. And prayer really is that time for slowing down for me. And where is that rooted in? So that's one of the sources which I did not print for you guys. Sorry. But you'll listen. So the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Amid Bet. It's like my favorite Mishnah. It's my favorite parak in all of Brachos.
So that means that's like a number? Daf.
Yeah, Daf is... Page 30?
Oh.
B. 30B.
Okay.
So it goes like this. Ein omnin lehitpalel ele mitoch kovid rosh. You should only pray from a place of heavy heartedness, like seriousness. And to prove that, it says, chasidim arishayim, the early righteous people, hayu shoin sha'a achat, umitpalelim kidei sheyechavnu libam lavihem shabashamayim. The early chasidim, now, we don't mean the people with payas. I mean the early righteous people. They would wait for an hour, and then they would pray.
Wow. They would pray for 1 hour to be bekavana in their prayer?
So there's 2 different ways of reading the Mishnah. Either you could say that they were waiting for an hour.
Oh, excuse me. Kavana is
intention.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Either they would pray for an hour beforehand, or their prayer itself was an hour. That's the way that Rav Arya Kaplan reads it in his book, Jewish Meditation. He says that their Amidah, their Shemon Esrei, took an average of 7.5 seconds per word, and therefore it was about an hour.
Hmm.
And another way of reading is that it would actually prepare for an hour, pray for an hour, and then come down for an hour. That's the way that the Yerushalmi explains what the Hasidim would do. But either way, however you read it, it's all about slowing down. And being in the moment.
Beginning in the moment of God.
Well,
like I said, the time of God.
Brachot daf lamed amid bet 30b.
So when you slow down, you get to that point, you really get to the time of God. That's you get to that point.
Maybe also in the Amida, you do three steps backwards and not just three steps forward. Mm-hmm. Also a way to say that to get in touch and you need to get
step
slow
back.
Down, right. Humble,
yeah.
I don't know.
Slow down.
But you're mimicking, in that way you are really doing mimicking, right? You just go back, go away.
Ideally you're mimicking, but you're feeling it.
Yeah, but I think the
that doesn't necessarily mean that every person can really feel something when they go.
Of course not, but the imagery is meant to evoke certain. The movement is meant to evoke certain emotions. Will you actually go there? Not necessarily. That's why we learn Torah, to remind us what we should be actually thinking of. But I do think that the act of stepping back and then stepping forward is meant to remind us to like. Step out of our world and then step back into the world of God. I think it can be a powerful experience.
Like putting on tefillin is a powerful experience and really kind of slows you down. It's ritualistic in a way, but you know, it's not hard for me to get into that
great
prayerful space.
Ashrecha.
Yeah.
I wish I could say I'm always that feeling and inspired, but hopefully.
So what is your source?
So we're getting there, but one I wanted to point out is this: my Mishnah. This Mishnah is like one of my favorite Mishnahs, and I try to encourage my students to experiment with this, to really take 7.5 seconds per each word, at least for the first blessing of Shemona Esrei. Mm-hmm. That's what Rav Aryeh Kaplan suggests. Get your mind, you know. I don't necessarily do it every time, but at least on Shabbat, just to really slow your brain down and say each word slowly. And it really helps. It really, really does help to slow your brain down. And I think another tip is the first sentence before you start praying, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach Ufi Agiti Latecha. It's basically saying, before I even start, open up my mouth. Let me breathe. Let me connect. It's a prayer before we pray. And it's meant to slow us down and say, oh yeah, right, I'm praying now. Hold on, slow down. And the truth is, actually, we've lost this consciousness. But that's also the point of a bracha.
Right.
Every blessing, before you put on your tefillin, before you put on your tzitzit, before you eat fruit, it's meant to slow us down. Mm. So we don't just jump into the actions. We do it with intent.
Right.
But we have, you know, we get into habits, and it just becomes another thing you say. Right? But so we need to work hard to fight that habit so that we can really have a little sticker chart when I leave the bathroom. So if I say it's Asher Yetzer slowly, I get a sticker. But it's my way of motivating myself. But it's hard. It's hard to change habits.
Yeah, with narcissists as well. You know,
sometimes we have something inside yourself that is rushing you.
Yeah.
Or you have
all the time.
So many things to do. Your agenda is full.
And you need
to finish everything during the day. You have to finish.
Nachon. You do. And sometimes in life you really do. You really do have deadlines. But most of the time for me is I find I don't really have to. I just put myself into that situation where I'm rushing from thing to thing to thing. But if I restructured my day and prioritized slowness and getting things done in a calm way, I'd be a better person and a happier person and more able to manifest kindness towards others instead of always being in a rush. Wake up, you're late, run to this, do this. I run every day to chakras and then I miss the guy who I can give tzedakah to. You know, or if I give him tzedakah, I do it and get out of the way so I can get the chakras. You know, instead of just structuring my day in such a way that I can do it more slowly. So once you brought up prayer, I definitely did want to. That's definitely one place where the Torah talks about going slow. A few more places. So this is an amazing source. Ruch ata Adonai Elohim Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyah Bevaro.
Amen.
So when Moshe gets called up to the mountain in chapter 24 of Shemot, this is what the verse says. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. God says to Moses, Aleh Elai. Come up to me. I want to give you the Torah. Hara, to the mountain. Ve'yesham. And be there. Ve'etne lecha et luchot ha'aven, and I'll give you the stones. Ha'torah va'mitzvot asher katavti le'oratam. The Torah and the mitzvot, which I've written, so that you can go teach it to the people. But did you notice those two extra words there? It didn't have to be there. Ve'yesham. And be there. Get the Torah and just be there with it. So that's not my chiddush, it's the Kotzka Rebbe. It's the Hasidic Rebbe. But he points out beautifully that if you want to get the Torah and teach the Torah, first you need to internalize. First you need to breathe. And first you need to like take some time to really like, you know, in an ideal world, we would take, after every shiur of Torah we would learn, we would then take a few minutes to process.
Right.
We don't always do it because we're rushing from thing to thing, but really do need that time to process. In fact, just yesterday was a fast day, so more chill. So we had our little shiur, and then afterwards we all just like sat and like journaled for like 10 minutes about it. And like amazing things came out. You know? It was really great. I should probably do that every time. That's a beautiful, beautiful idea. Any thoughts, questions, ideas so far? Are we happy?
My idea, my conclusion so far is that you meet God at the time of peace. That's the only time that you can meet with God. When you are peace completely.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel that you are in that point, that there's nothing. No peace. There's only peace, and there's that time that is that God's time that never moves. You have to get there.
Bezat Hashem. Shvizaych. Beautiful. Okay, a few more sources relating to this. So, Pirkei Avot, right? The ethics of the fathers is an amazing thing. So, the first chapter and the first Mishnah, it goes through the history of the Jewish people and the Torah being passed after generation to generation. Finally, we get to the men of the Great Assembly, Anshei Knesset Agdola, and they have three pieces of advice. These are the people that wrote the prayer book, that wrote parts of the Bible. And what's their main first advice that they give, the first one that they give? A lot of people don't pay attention to this. But this is what they say. Hem amru shlosha dvarim, hevu metunin vadin. The first thing they say is be patient before you make a decision. Chill out. You know, and they say a lot of other things, but the first thing they say in life is wait. Which again is so counter our emotions and counter our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fast paced and quick. But the rabbis are telling us, if you want to be successful in Torah and in life, you gotta be patient. You gotta chill out. Ezrat Hashem. Because really all of life is decisions. It's all choices. And we take that extra second until we can tap into ourselves, we make much better decisions. Right?
But sometimes, for example, in business, you have to make that decision at the right time, because if you don't take that decision at the right time, then...
You're right.
It has to be the perfect moment.
You're right. But even sometimes taking that extra breath in that moment of, like, you know, I've never been in these crazy situations, but I've heard about people who are like flying or like underwater scuba diving, and what they tell you is at that moment when you're about to panic, when everything's rushing at you, take a deep breath back, slow down.
That's true.
Yeah. Then you can go. Because when you break, when you want to concentrate, you need to slow, even in that big decision, take one last breath and then decide. Don't do it from a place of just getting it over with. I wish I lived by it, but at least I can preach it. It's about the Shem.
First step.
Yeah, for sure. The more we
be patient, it will come slowly.
Right, exactly.
Amen.
Can I take water in the fridge?
Yes.
There's one here.
And there should be more in the fridge.
I also think it is when you're going to make a decision, you have to be calm. You can be, you cannot be like that, you know? You have to be calm.
And then just when you're calm, because you have to be thinking and not let anybody push or pressure you and telling you things that then you're going to be, you need to be calm and precise so that you can get where you want precise.
Amen.
That's great.
Yeah, it's great advice. Okay, now there's one source which I think is very obvious if we think about it. There were three, but I only told you the first one.
Oh.
They said have many students, have need to tell me the marba, vasasiyad la Torah, and make a fence around the Torah. Mm-hmm. Also, and if we were learning Pirkei Avos, we could go into it.
Oh, that's another.
But, yeah,
okay.
But
that's
a different topic. Right. I'm just doing a few more sources relating to slowing down in Torah. So there's one law, a very central law in our tradition, which is all about slowing down. That's the essence of the law.
Shabbos!
Right? Shabbos
Kodesh.
Nachon, right? What's Shabbos all about? Shabbat Vayinafash. God says, I rested and I breathed. And so on Shabbos, we are meant to rest and to breathe and to slow down. Which again is very ironic for me to say, because my Shabbos is not so slow, because I host meals. There's a lot of schlepping and hosting and running and making sure everything's okay. I'm sure, you know, women probably feel this way with children and things like this. It's not always so chill. But nonetheless, to find at least a little bit of, you know, for doers like me, to find a space. Like this Shabbos, I got a nice Shabbos nap in my... And I stopped going to Shabbos lunch out so I could just eat by myself and just have a moment of like, you know, of Shabbos.
Right.
Yeah.
So even your Shabbat is not quiet. It's still like in a rush.
That's generally the case. That's true. Which maybe I happen to enjoy very much, I'll be honest, because I love helping other people have Shabbos.
The planning on Thursday should be...
And trying as much as we can. And I think the more we do it, the more we get into rhythm and the more chill it can become.
Exactly. Mm.
Even within the rush sometimes, you get into a zone.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the goal that we're striving for. Like you pointed out, of course, there are situations in life and we're always weighing different things.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes there's not a time. Like we just did a shiur about running. That was our last shiur about the importance of exercise. So sometimes when I'm running, I'm not slow. I'm running. That's okay too. There's a time and place for everything. But there's a time and place for slowness too. And that's Shabbat. And Vayinafash is very powerful. Vayinafash means God rested. But Vayinafash is also related to another word.
Nefesh.
Soul. Because when you rest, you tap into your soul. You're really able to connect to your soul. Right? Like we were saying before.
Speaking of resting, I need to go rest.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
And I bless you with a week of really slowing down.
Thank you.
Come back.
Exactly. I will, definitely.
Yeah. Monday night.
Even if Jerusalem is in a fast pace, you can find your slow pace in yourself.
Amen.
Go by yourself.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you so
and
much.
Don't feel rushed.
Thank you. That's really good advice.
I'll leave you my card. It's good to check in with me.
Good. I was going to say, if you do earlier nights, I'm there. If there are other people that are interested in...
Okay.
Yeah.
We can definitely factor into equation. What's he going to say? Yeah, good to check in with me because sometimes things move. So it's always good to check in.
All right. What do you do with cups?
We throw them out of the
room.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
It was nice meeting you.
And
enjoy your stay. Nice meeting you, Mark.
Yeah.
And if you guys do come back next week, I'm going to ask you, did you slow down? And I hope you'll get a sticker if you get it right. Slow down. You're moving too fast. Yeah. We were listening to Simon and Garfunkel that he hasn't prepared this year.
Wow.
You both.
Thank you.
Okay. So speaking of, so we said nefesh is breath, is rest, and it's soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's another connotation, another time that nefesh is used, right? Nefesh. What am I, anybody know what I'm talking about? Where the Torah.
So it's also like maybe breath?
Exactly. When it says that God breathed a life into man, it says, and God formed man, and he breathed into life the soul of life. So neshama, and our soul is through breath. God's breathing life into us. So when we slow down, we can feel that chesed of Hashem. And when we're not breathing, we're just rushing, then we're missing it. Okay, I have now, let's see, two more Jewish sources, as far as I see. And then just a few more like practical pieces of advice. How about the advantages of slowing down? And then what we'll do to wrap up our little chabura is try to think how we can practically manifest this into our lives this week. Sounds good?
Great.
Amazing. Great. Okay. So this, I actually quoted this before, and it's actually Rav Ari Zev Schwartz is a rabbi friend of mine who wrote an amazing book translating Rav Kook into English, and he sent these guys actually. And this is a translation which I love from his book, from Rav Kook. And he talks about the concept of serving God in everything you do. Or in Hebrew, Bechol Darkecha Da'ehu. Whatever you do, you can know God. Mm-hmm. It says like this. Right. One must search for God in everything one does. When praying, one must search for God by trying to focus on the words of prayer with deep concentration and a dedicated heart. And in fact, he practiced what he preached. Every time Rav Kook davened, it was like tears were flowing from the depth of his heart. One must not search for God in other matters at that moment. Indeed, while involved in that specific action, it may be said that God can be found within the action and nothing else. He's saying when you're davening, just daven. Don't think about intellectual ideas and other things, just be there. When you're praying, just pray. And finally, and when studying Torah, we must realize that God is found in the very act of analyzing and trying to understand each idea. At that moment, God reveals himself in that specific action and not in anything else. So when I'm learning Torah, just be in the moment. Just learn Torah. Just think about the ideas. And finally, when involved in gemilut chasadim, acts of kindness, one must search for God by trying to uncover the best possible way to help one's friend. That is the principle in every action a person does. When you're doing kindness, think about the best way I can help this person this way and that way. Be totally immersed in that act of kindness. Don't be thinking of Gemara as you learned. Just kindness. Do not all matters in the world uncover the divine? Therefore, everything a person does should be understood as a mitzvah, because one must search for God in every action. We may accurately say that one who dedicates his or her entire mind and strength to performing every action with the greatest level of perfection knows God in all of his ways. So that's my favorite part of the passage. That it's not just learning Torah or davening or kindness, but any action that you're doing, as long as your intentions are purely L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of God, and you're in it, slowing down, just being in that, whatever you're doing it for the sake of God, obviously, then that too is a big mitzvah, and that's the greatest mitzvah. But the only real way to get there is to slow down and to be totally cool. No? Cool. Any ideas, questions, challenges? Anyone disagree very strongly with this? Okay, we're all on the same page. Good. Okay. Now, the pasuk which I relate to most, which reminds me of this concept, actually one of my rabbis, Rav Nagin, starts off every shiur saying this phrase. It's his mantra. Reminds him to live by this. And we say it in Hallel. I love this line. It's in Tehillim. And we say, which means, this is a day which God created. I'm going to rejoice. Let's rejoice in it and be happy. Or as Rosh Shlomo says, God says, I'm giving you this moment right now. What are you going to do with it? The past is in the past. The future is in the future. It's irrelevant. Right now, you have this day. What are you doing with it? Right now, be in this moment.
And stay in that moment.
Stay in that moment, right? Or as David Henry Thoreau said, you must live in the present, launch yourself on every wave, find your eternity in each moment. As we were saying before, the eternity of God. Awesome. Okay. That's the Torah stuff. A few more practical advantages of stuff. Again, most of the stuff I'm sure is intuitive. We know this. It's good review. When you slow down, you have greater clarity. Right? When you go fast, everything's confused. When you slow things, break things down, things become more clear. Two, you harness the power of emotion. Meaning, I'll read it. To many people fail to see the benefits in their emotions. But emotions are a guide, and they help you take inventory of what's happening in and around you, and how best to respond. Successful people feel and manage their emotions, and they don't let them trigger bad behaviors or actions. In other words, you need, first of all, when you slow down, you can be aware of your emotions, and then you can decide what your emotions are trying to tell you. But otherwise, you just let your emotions push you around and just quickly like react. And then they're the boss, and you're not the boss. But when you slow down, you can take control of your emotions and ask yourself, what are your emotions trying to tell me? What should I... What message are they actually telling? Am I feeling hesitant? Am I feeling this? What? And then you slow down, you can actually harness your emotions. And because of that, you'll make better decisions. Okay. Finally, my main advice for myself, and you guys can listen with me, is, again, what Henry David Thoreau says, simplicity, simplicity, simplicity. Let your affairs be 2 or 3 and not 100 or 1,000. Instead of 1,000,000, count 6. In other words, Henry David Thoreau is teaching us, if you want to be successful in life, what's the key? Should I say it again?
Be simple.
Be simple. What does he mean by simple?
Humble.
Humble, simple, and do less. Cut out stuff from your life.
I mean, not like, because Henry David Thoreau is well known for going out into the wilderness and just like living as a hermit for a whole year without any contact with people.
Okay.
So I think it's also the idea of just like not having so many material stuff.
Nachon.
Trying to communicate with nature, trying to communicate with God.
And with yourself also.
Yeah.
So
right.
don't put too many things that disturb or that get on your way.
Yeah.
Make it clear. Get your path clear. Clear of clutter.
Right.
And clutter your path so that you can see it clear.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you do that, you'll be able to do what you're doing with greater love and intensity. And so, for example, I have a temptation. I have a Yetzer Hara. It's the tunnel tours. They call me all the time. And they say, we really need a guide tonight. And I say, but I have plans. But they pay me, and I need to make money. You know, pay for watermelon. And it's a mitzvah, because every time I give it to her, I can inspire people. But on the other hand, I need order in my life. And like, so what I started saying is like, I've started taking off Sundays, because Shabbos is crazy about the gun here. And I need that Saturday night. I need that Saturday night and that Sunday to like do laundry and like hang out and like clean up the house. And like, I still don't find enough time to like and like listen to a shiur and prepare myself or whatever. Like, and like, anyways, all I'm saying is I need to cut more stuff out of my life so that what I can do it with full presence. And not you giving that tour thinking I have to do 3 million other things and not being fully present. But do less so that I can do what I'm doing with
100%.
Yeah, exactly.
And really get everything out of it and really be happy in the moment you're doing and not being somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
exactly. And the way to do this, Gandhi teaches us. How do you simplify? It's very simple. You have to say no. A no uttered from the deepest conviction is better than a yes merely uttered to please, or worse, to avoid trouble. In other words, sometimes we need to say no to people. People ask me for favors a lot, and thank God, I enjoy it. I love helping people. I love doing good things. Mm-hmm. But I need to learn to say no, because no is really a yes to mm-hmm. other needs of mine. So I can say yes to everything else in my life and give space for that. I need to be able to learn to say no. We all need to do that. So again, by cutting down things in our life and slowing down, we make space to slow down. And then when we slow down, we have space to be present, to give with full love and conviction, and we'll find more opportunities to give, but to really give to who the people we want to give to in the way we want to give to. Sounds good?
Yeah, awesome. Great.
Beautiful. Okay, so Adkan, the sheer part.